League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let the good times roll. Take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station, the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational, benefiting Kids Mills. This year's tournament will take place on Fat Tuesday, March 4th at 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Brown Bag Deli, dinner from Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, and 18 holes of golf. Register now, ESPN975.com, under the Promotions tab, and use code EARLYBIRD for a $97.50 registration for a limited time. Few texts on this. Kelvin Sampson, beyond any pro coach, I would agree. Soccer doesn't matter. Also, listen to Soccer Matters later on. No one said soccer didn't matter. We just say it doesn't matter until 6 o'clock on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. From 6 to 7, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, soccer matters a great deal. Before 6, unless there's a World Cup going on, I don't love Olympic soccer because it's like they're all under 23.
We've had Glenn on to talk Olympic soccer.
I don't think so.
I thought we did.
I don't think so. I think it was World Cup.
No, I thought it wasn't just World Cup. I thought there was something else where we had Glenn on.
I find it very hard
to
believe.
It was the Olympic coach when they.
That's the men's national team coach. Coach the Olympics. Okay. Usually, it's a more junior coach because the Olympics.
First of all, I've never claimed to be a soccer aficionado.
I like soccer. I just have never really had a club. I like the Dynamo. I do like the Dynamo. Was the voice of the Dynamo for 3 years. Play-by-play radio voice of the year one of those years. E. Blankers loves when I do that. The U.S., I don't know if every country does this, but I think they do. But it's like an under-23 team or under-24 team where every player on the roster is either like is 24 under with two exceptions that can be older. It's really weird.
No idea.
That's why Olympic soccer doesn't have the prestige as the World Cup.
Okay.
Yeah, the World Cup is like the big one. I really want a Premier League team, but I've never been able to get into it.
But it's surprising to me sometimes, like how many people that I would not expect are like over the top passionate soccer people. Like I worked with Craig Ackerman forever, and I didn't realize how passionate Craig is about soccer.
Who's his team?
It's
who's his club? I should say his squad.
It's a smaller town one. But they had
Burnley.
No, but they had some success in the last couple of years where he really capitalized on it. It's not like one of the big ones. It's not like Bayern or it's not a lot of the big name clubs. But
is it in the Premier League?
I'll ask him. I'll text him.
Is it in Europe?
Yes, is it England?
Because there's multiple top leagues over there. Like you have La Liga, you have the Premier League, you have the Bundesliga. I know a little bit about it because I played FIFA back in the day, but I never got a team. AJ, do you have a team? Do you have a squad that you pull for?
No, I really don't pay attention.
I would like to have a squad. I think it's fun. Like you the transfer window and the young play. I would love to follow a club. I just can't. I've never been able to pull for one. Find one.
There's two teams with the same name, but one is a smaller version. I texted him. I'll tell you who it is. But I know that
there's like Man United and Manchester City.
Man City. I think he's a Man City.
They're pretty big now.
Are they?
Yeah, I think they used to be upper mid-market, but now they're pretty upper market.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty high in salary. But yeah, that's our... See, so soccer does matter, Texter. We just talked about it. Why did we let Luno leave again? Because Jim Crane freaked out about the sign-stealing scandal, and he acted like he was brand new to the fact that everybody in baseball was cheating. You had the Red Sox that hung on to Cora, but Jim Crane wouldn't hang on to Luno and A.J. Hinch. That still bothers me about Crane. And then also, it changed the way he operates as an owner. He started becoming very hands-on and meddled a lot more.
Yeah, I think that the way all of that went down, I've still got some issues with. But at the same time, I mean, we saw what the Red Sox did. you could easily have brought back whoever you wanted to bring back. I still have some issue with that because of the fact that, there's a lot of things like kind of off the field stuff that you could point at with Luno, and you can place blame wherever you want. But because of the job that Luno did, I don't think that anybody would have faulted you for like a long period of time if you'd have said, hey, he's going to take his one-year suspension. I'm going to bring him back.
I would have loved that. That would have been the way to go, in my opinion. Maybe Luno will be back in a few years. I think that ship has sailed. It seems like he's also been blackballed from baseball. Like, the fact that nobody else has been interested in bringing him in is weird. And then he's running these soccer teams and having a good amount of success. Corey says, I think Ime is first. The turnaround he has been able to pull with this young team is so impressive. The division title is nice, but the division is iffy at best. So he's going to Ime over D'Amico. I think it's fair. I think you could go either way, but I do give D'Amico the edge because of the fact that he's been to the playoffs, and he's also won in the playoffs. He's won two games in the playoffs.
That's where I'm at, yep.
Like, that should matter, at least in my opinion. I get letting Luno go, but why let Click walk? Well, he meddled a little bit more once Luno was fired, and I think that they disagreed a lot, Crane and Click, and I also think that Click didn't really get along with Bagwell.
I think that Bags is not an analytics guy, as he has been very vocal about. And I think that I agree with what you said in the fact that I think that there was a communication breakdown between Crane and Click. I think that Crane had certain expectations that Click just wasn't comfortable doing. And he probably
win a World Series?
Just, you know what I'm talking about. Like, in terms of like how and when they discuss what's going on and decisions to be made. And then I think there was also a personality conflict more so than anything else. And that led to it being where the owner says, I want a guy that I think is my type of guy. And you weren't that guy.
Yeah. I think there was a little bit of a posse that built up against Click. I think Click was super analytical, super number based. And I think Crane had some people in his ear that were not numbers based. And ultimately, they moved on. They gave Click the one-year offer, but that was insulting to a general manager that just won a World Series. It's also weird that he doesn't have a job. Like, how does that guy not have a general manager job? He was good here. Very good here.
Yeah, he's deep into soccer, right?
Luno is.
Yeah,
Click's
Luno
with
is.
The Blue Jays.
Click's with the Blue Jays as a vice president of baseball. He's not even a GM.
He's like one of their assistants, yeah.
Yeah, you would think that he should have another job by now.
So here's my pushback on Stone. I don't disagree with you that Casario should be one and Stone should be two, but is it fair to say that Stone has had more misses in the draft than Casario? It's tough to compare the two sports because there's seven rounds in the NFL draft and there's only two rounds in the NBA draft. In the NBA draft, it's also hard to find good players after like pick 10, whereas the NFL, you can find really good, productive players like in the fifth round. So it's tough to do the apples to apples comparison between the two. But Casario's had his fair share of misses, too. Yep. Like, trading down when he could have selected Kyle Hamilton, and then to trade down and then go Kenyon Green, as opposed to some of the other offensive linemen that were there. Tyler Linderbaum would have been fantastic. A couple of other names that would have been fantastic as well. The Juice Scruggs trade, kind of iffy. So I don't know if I can say that Casario has drafted better than Rafael Stone.
I thought about it because and I think that part of this is, I think you already know where I have been critical of Rafael Stone draft-wise, and it's the misses, and it's the guys that, whether you want to say that they were mid to late first-round picks, so it's more difficult, sure, okay, fine. But I think both, in fairness, have had their misses as well as their hits. And we know that Casario's had misses with a first-round pick like Kenyon Green. We know that he's missed and maybe misjudged where to take linemen and other guys that haven't turned out. Just like we know Stone has hit on some and missed on some. I think that, I've also been quick to point out, hey, you took what was left of the top tier in multiple drafts in the top five or top three, but they've worked out for you. But I'm not trying to, so I don't want to be critical, but I also don't think that it was as tough as if you were picking one or two in those drafts and you had to decipher those three guys. But he's hit, and I give him credit where credit is. He found Jayshon Tate. No one knew Jayshon Tate was an NBA player. He was playing overseas in obscurity, and he found Jayshon Tate. He found Alpi. When Alpi was OKC's pick, he made the move, he got Alpi. So he's hit and he's missed, just like Nick has hit and missed. I think it comes down to more so the fact that we're still trying to figure out who our go-to guy is if any of these guys are going to be like go-to guys on this squad, where he's got his go-to guy in CJ. He's also went out and gotten guys that have been go-to guys at running back, wide receiver, free agency, got him defensive players to where Yeah, Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks have been guys you had to do something with, and they were almost like fillers. Now it's going to be, what's he going to do when he gets the money back?
I feel like you underrate the Dylan Brooks, Fred VanVleet signings.
Because it's primary, and you know how I feel. It's primarily about the fact that Dylan Brooks at $90 million, the potential for $90 million, was a massive overspend. I don't think any team was coming close to giving him. Fred VanVleet, I think at the time, I didn't want James Harden.
No, I think Dylan Brooks had some suitors. I think he had some suitors.
Not at that price. I don't believe at that price.
What were you saying about Fred VanVleet?
Fred VanVleet, I loved at the time. Now, primarily, part of it was I didn't want James Harden. And so if you're going to spend that money and it's between James Harden and Fred VanVleet, but you know I was adamant that I thought Fred VanVleet was the right fit for this team and I was okay with them spending that money on him. Now, it's fair to be critical now, but it's also now that he's not playing that you realize he has more value than maybe a lot of people thought. But do I think that they should pick up the option for next year? No, absolutely not.
Yeah, they're going to have to get creative with what they want to do there.
Right.
I don't think you let him hit the open market, though. I think you either pick it up, trade him, or you reconstruct your. I think you do something. I wouldn't hate Fred VanVleet on this team going forward. Now, not for very much longer. But why I think you kind of underrate the significance of that. They had to hit the salary cap floor,
right.
So they had to spend the money, and you kind of addressed that with signing Fred VanVleet instead of James Harden.
Yep.
I think that their presence, Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks, has helped the development of the young players tremendously. So while we look at the dollar associated to their name, like what's the return on investment for those guys specifically with the dollar that they signed for, it's not measurable the impact that they made on the young players. I think Jalen Green's better because of those two guys. I think Jabari's better because of those two guys. I think Alpi's better because of those two guys. I think Amen Thompson is better because of those two guys.
I think
they're better in... I think it all comes into play. I think it all. You have these guys, these young players, that talk about the significance that the impact of those two players.
I get it that it's not tangible to say that you can actually calculate and judge the value that they bring to. I think off the court. I think off the court is where those kids had to grow up a lot. And
I think both.
Right, but both. I think that those guys, teaching them how to be professionals. How to practice the right way.
Yeah.
How to, handle yourself in all situations. I don't think that I'm not trying to say that they haven't brought value in the time that they've been with the Rockets. I feel like of the two guys, Fred was the guy worthy of the contract because that's what the market was commanding for him at the time. I don't feel like the market was commanding, and then they kept adding to it for Dylan. And I also think that the return on investment is less for Dylan than it is for Fred.
Yeah, I think all that stuff is fair. But I do think that their impact has been, if you just took them away these last 2 years, I don't think that these young players are as good now as they would have been because of the two guys that they brought in. So it's part of them being on this team that you can't measure because we just don't really know the impact. I think it's been a net positive, though.
Plus, the difficulty is, like you said, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes to a deep enough level to say what Dylan has done that we don't see. But we see what Fred does because Fred is the coach on the floor. Fred is the guy that isn't, trying to get under guys' skin and trying to start stuff. Fred's the guy that's the consummate steady, And I'm not to, and again, because I also was the guy clamoring that they need someone that's going to be a protector and kind of a tough guy for this squad. I think Dylan goes too far. I think he actually tries to do it too much. But
give me some examples this year of him doing that.
No, I'm saying since he's been here, that he's gone too far.
Well, I think, that's a relative term because,
the kick in the jewels was not necessary opening night.
Oh, that was the preseason, wasn't it?
It was the start of the regular season, I think.
I couldn't remember the game, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of unnecessary stuff. I understand to a certain degree that, you started it with LeBron before you even got here. I thought that he tried to carry it too far. It's even past Rodman-esque, the staring down from the time the anthem starts, and then but then he starts using the physical parts of it where he gets tagged with silly fouls and technicals and things that I think it goes too far.
Yeah, I would disagree with all of that except for the jewels part. You probably shouldn't kick a dude in the jewels.
No.
I would agree with that. That is going too far. The other things don't bother me. That's why it's a relative term. Going too far is different for you versus somebody else. I want a villain on the team. I want a goon on the team. I want a dude who is willing to do those things.
I don't want to pay $90 million for a goon.
They had to spend the money.
They did.
They had to spend the money.
But there are other guys you could have spent the money on, too.
Who?
Well, I mean, I have to go back and look. Yeah, but at the time, there were other.
They were talking about Lopez. Like, that would have been disaster.
Look, they made trades trying to get Brook Lopez.
And that would have
I thought that was a mistake.
It would have been, too. Because, look, I think it would have helped. I think it would have stunted the growth of Alpi. Because now you're taking a guy's minutes away that needed those minutes to become the player that he is now. So I think that was a good thing that they missed on him. You could actually use that as a stone negative that they were trying to get him, and it could have stunted the growth of Alpi Şengün. One other thing that I think you have to give Stone credit for the Dylan Brooks signing was that you also situated the contract where it's a reverse escalator and gets cheaper as you go. Mm-hmm. So now it's a very movable deal, and you've added value to the team using money that you had available. So that's not a contract that you can't get out of. You can get, in fact, I think it carries value because he's a very good 3-and-D player. I think he's kind of a leader on this team. The young players look up to him. So I give him credit for those free agent signings. I thought it was a good move at the time. I still think it's fine. The option on Fred VanVleet is going to be interesting because it is a lot of money.
And supposedly they're already talking about kind of an extension, which I hope is less money, probably for more years. He eventually kind of evolves into the backup point guard, and then you don't need Holiday. You don't need Holiday. If he's willing to do that and he said he wants to stay in Houston, then I think that's the perfect game plan for
him. I would agree. Now, you can't do it at 40-something million or whatever.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Who would be the starting point guard in this scenario?
Maybe you don't have to label them.
Just have it in Jalen backcourt.
You just have ball handlers. You have guys that can handle the ball when there's pressure, and the other guys handle it when they're on the break, and you play up tempo enough that you don't have to hopefully decipher it a whole lot.
Kind of positionless.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Amen's a ball handler to be pressured in the backcourt.
But it'd be an Amen Jalen backcourt.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm okay with that. The version of Dylan Brooks is way better than Memphis's version of him. He has helped the young team develop faster. I think he's a way better player now. Way better player. He's a way better shooter.
Jalen?
Dylan.
Oh, Dylan. Yeah, probably. I think the system fits him better than in Memphis. I think in Memphis, he kind of had even more so of the Jabari role where you don't get the plays called for you. You don't get the ball a whole lot. But if the shot clock's running down, then you got to hit the three if you catch the ball.
Texture so far, Stone only missed to me is Reed.
Reed is not a miss.
It's too early to say.
Yeah.
I've liked his aggression lately. His shot still hasn't fallen. Now, you could say some of those late first-rounders were misses, but that's if you considered those even tangible. Because a lot of people are late first-rounders or, you know, dime a dozen. But, Ty Washington, Garuba. Who else did he draft late first-round?
Josh Christopher. Then gave him away for nothing because he was trying to get Lopez.
Yeah. I mean, they are nothing. But they were late first. You could have used Quinton. You could have drafted Quinton.
Yeah, again, you and I like to do that, and it's fun in retrospect to look back and say, who could you have gotten if you didn't go with them? Mm-hmm. There were some names.
He traded his second round pick this year for Adrian Griffin's son, who retired. You could have used that pick on Marcus Sasser. I'm a little bitter.
You're a little salty on the Cougs. I understand.
A little bitter on those, but yeah,
Cougs can play too.
I don't put a lot of value on late first rounders though. So like, I'm willing to look past those misses for Rafael Stone because I do think late first carry little value.
Yeah, I you and I, we differ in our opinions towards the extensions and the amount of money and when you did them for Jalen and Şengün, more so Jalen than Şengün.
Yeah,
but again, we won't really be able to judge those until we see what kind of players they become.
I also don't think you can let talent leave for free.
Yeah, you don't. But you didn't have to make the decision when they did.
No, but you kind of did. Like, you got them cheaper than what you would have had them a year later. If you did, because you didn't have to sign them yet, but that you would have had to sign them this offseason, or they would have been restricted free agents, and the price would have been way higher.
I think that if you did it at the All-Star break right now, you'd get Jalen for the same price.
Oh, I disagree. I think Jalen Green has far more value today than he did over the offseason.
I think because he's been up and down. I think from a team's perspective, I would disagree with that.
Because I think he's
still got to prove it more. He's got to be more consistent.
I think he's been more consistent this year than he has in the past.
But teams are reluctant to give you max money or close to it or that kind of money.
Maybe you only got a 2-year deal. Like, I don't think you're getting him on a 2-year deal.
Because it's a tradable contract. That's what I like.
I don't think you could do that right now. I don't think he would sign a 2-year deal right now because I think he is having a solid season. Like, inconsistent shooting, no doubt, but he's been an iron man. His defense has gotten way better. He's still averaging 20 a game. Like, I don't think he signs for 2 years.
Maybe so. I just think that there's a lot of teams that are reevaluating how freely and quickly they spend money. And I think that from his standpoint, what we've seen so far isn't enough for a team to say that I want to give him more for more years.
4631, Reed is a miss because there are players looking back that could help us in the near future. I haven't really kept up with the rookie class behind.
They're not
a
great.
Lot.
I mean, look, they're the guys that are leading the charge for rookie of the year are not the guys that you that were drafted in the top five. They're not the guys that you were sitting there going, oh, it was one of those drafts where three of the top five guys are going to be all-stars and definitive franchise players. That wasn't that kind of draft.
You know, like Jared McCain got hurt. Like, he was having a great start.
He was playing well.
Who else would be up here? Like, Zach Edey's been solid, but
Zach Edey's actually been better than I thought he was going to be, and he's really been very good.
How's Dillingham been?
I mean, he's been hit or miss. They love the kid in Memphis who was
second-rounder guy or the first-rounder?
The second-round, the guy that slid by everybody, and he's having a phenomenal year. But the big kid from UConn at Portland, yeah, Klingon, he has moments. He hasn't been great. I'm trying to think of, in that draft class, a lottery pick that's playing really good.
Dillingham, he really hasn't gotten a lot of playing time. That's the thing. But when he plays in Spurs, he's been playing good.
Yeah, I liked him. He played a little bit against the Rockets the other day. I thought he looked good. But his numbers weren't, like, fantastic.
Right. And I guess Castle for the Spurs sometimes.
Castle's the guy that they didn't want to get rid of, that they do like what he brings. But, again, right, he's not doing it consistently.
Right.
It's kind of – this draft has kind of played out in his first season, which is way too early to talk about a draft class, kind of like everybody was talking about the draft going into the draft, about how it was a bit of an underwhelming draft and, you know, no real stars in this draft. Who's the favorite right now to win Rookie of the Year?
I think last time I saw it was like Stephon Castle or something like
is
that.
Is it Castle?
So. I saw somebody else. I want to say it wasn't someone in Charlotte, but someone that I was watching recently, they were like, he's the favorite for Rookie of the Year. And I'm like, who would have thought that at the start of the year?
See, this one came out today. Castle's plus 190. Khalil Ware from Miami is plus 220. Jalen Wells, the guy you're talking
about,
Memphis, plus 500.
Yep.
And then the Zazier, Rush Zazier, plus 750. So Castle is the favorite, plus 190, barely over Khalil Ware, plus 220. Yeah, it hadn't been a great rookie class.
Nah.
Hasn't been. But Reed Sheppard, remember, he was predicted a preseason favorite to win.
He was.
To win the rookie
but
of
again,
the year.
Don't call him a bust because his rookie year hasn't been, you know, where he's been flourishing. Like, it's who he's playing with and the fact that how young he is and everything that goes with it, that he's going to be fine. I believe he's going to be just fine.
Reed is texture says, Joel, Reed is unplayable and can't shoot. We could have drafted Castle for shooting and done better.
He led the country in shooting last year from three-point range. He's like, don't tell 50%. Me he can't shoot.
Call right. Three-point lines a little closer.
I understand.
I don't know if you're aware of that.
But I also, yeah, I'm aware of that. And I also realize in the G League, you don't put up 49 and you can't shoot.
Come on. It's the G League.
But look at the threes he made that game. He made a boatload of threes that game. He can shoot the three ball.
He can shoot, but I'm not giving him a ton of credit for scoring 49.
Yeah, you never do, and we have that discussion. But I think that it shows you that most guys that are busts go down to the G League, and they're busts. They don't even get theirs in the G League. If you go down to the G League and you do it to that level, it's like Udoka even said, there's no sense in sending him back down there. He's a better player than the guys that are down there.
I kind of liked what I've seen from Reed the last few games, even though he has not shot.
Man.
Like he's starting to do some things on the floor that I want him to do. And then once those shots start to fall, we're going to be like, yeah, okay. I start to see it a little bit too. I wonder if that texture will keep saying if Reed's a miss when a couple of years he becomes a sharp shooter off the bench and plays a huge role in the team's success in the future. Probably not. No. People usually don't live up to the takes that they get wrong.
Craig has responded, by the way.
For what? Which one?
His soccer take. His team.
Who is it?
Leicester City?
Oh, Leicester. It's pronounced Leicester.
Leicester City?
They won the Premier League, like a Cinderella Premier League, probably 7 years ago or so. See, I keep up with it a little bit. I think it was like a Cinderella run. They had the guy that had the hair that they wanted to be the U.S. men's national team coach.
No clue.
I forget his name, but they wanted him to be the U.S. men's national team coach.
Glenn knows
do
his
it.
Name.
Oh, no doubt. Because
yeah.
Soccer matters to Glenn. And to all of us. We love Soccer Matters. Glenn will be on later tonight, 6 o'clock. 713-780-ESPN. Get ready for Eat Drink HTX, kicking off on February 15th. It's a two-week-long dining event to support Houston-area restaurants and raise money for two great charities, the Houston Food Bank and Kids Meals. Every meal at participating restaurants creates a donation to the charities. Eat Drink HTX is a sister event to the popular Houston Restaurant Weeks with the same motto, dine out and do good. Get a sneak peek at the menus right now at eatdrinkhtx.com. So Starbucks is starting to do something that's mandatory that we're going to talk about. Actually, I think I just saw a first glimpse of it, too. It's kind of interesting. Also, your car wrecks of the day, 713-780-3776. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Just had a good conversation about basketball because it's the season, right? It is the season for basketball. And if you're going to get a goal, you need to get one from Pro Dunk. They make the highest quality basketball goals you'll ever find. Best goals on the market. Unlike anything you'll find at the big box stores, those are cheap. Those aren't any good. Rims messed up, backboard's broken. You're not going to like those. You're going to like the ones from Pro Dunk. Tempered glass backboard gives you a true, authentic feel. A breakaway rim, we're on that later. Stainless steel hardware, it's rust proof, must have in Houston, and it's height adjustable. Anywhere from 5 to 10 feet. Why that breakaway rim's so important? Because you're going to be throwing down some jams. If you want to, lower it all the way down to 5 feet. You want to work on the shot, you got a kid working on his game, raise it up to 10 feet. Your kids are going to love it. Anybody who plays basketball in your family is going to love it. Their new goal, Thor, you can raise and lower the goals with a drill. It's easy to do. Lightning adjust feature, 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. Their accessories, next level. LED light kits for night play. You're stuck in the office during the day. Kids are stuck in school. You can only play when the sun goes down. Well, get LED light kits, and you can play around the clock. Backstop nets, pole pad lettering, and lots more. You can order all of this and everything, including professional installation online at ProDunk.com. That's right. The pros from ProDunk will professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do it. You don't have to worry about the big box delivered to your driveway with a million pieces. You don't have to assemble that. The pros at ProDunk will do that work for you. Give them a call at 281-351-9822, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Brand.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Where does this stack up with the greatest Michael Jackson songs ever?
Oh, I don't like it. I'm not a big fan of it.
Now, this is the who did this one? This is, I can't remember who, somebody remixed it.
It's the same one that just redid Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire.
Was it really?
Yeah, they just did that recently. Come on, man.
Alien Ant Farm.
No, that I'm wrong.
That was Smooth Criminal.
Yeah,
that one
that's
Alien
Ant Farm. And then they sound alike that does the remake of.
So you wouldn't have Smooth Criminal that high on your Michael Jackson bangers?
No.
Really?
And a lot of his old stuff, I don't think, gets enough credit, like on the Off the Wall album.
What are your favorite?
Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
How do you feel about Billie Jean?
It's good. It's okay. That wasn't one of my favorites either.
I love Smooth Criminal.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Smooth Criminal.
They just did something recently. I saw like a short or something to show how he did the whole where his feet stayed on the ground and he leaned really far forward. And
really?
Yeah, they had slides with pegs on the floor, and his soles of his shoes stuck out, so the slide would get stuck on the floor and stay flat footed, so he could do that.
He was insane. We drove by the house when we were in L.A. of where he died.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he lived right there, like in Beverly Hills. It's on the corner of couple of the streets there in Beverly Hills.
Not the one where they have the whole theme park in the back.
Neverland. No, he didn't live there when he died.
Oh,
no, I think that was like his getaway house.
It was great that when they were talking about all the Super Bowl halftimes on Sunday and then Monday, that the guy that was the producer of the Michael Jackson halftime said that they had agreed that they would start the music and the track for him to start performing when he took his sunglasses off.
Huh.
And he went out on stage and he just froze for the effect of everybody's like anticipation. It was building and whatever. He kept going, "Come on, Michael, take him off, Michael. Let's go, Michael." And you know, he's like, "Every second counts. The network's on my rear end. I'm screaming at everybody because I can't get in his ear." And then all of a sudden, he takes the glasses off. We get going, and I realize he was going to do that the entire time for effect.
Yeah.
And he was a master showman.
No doubt. He was probably the greatest ever. Greatest ever when it comes to showman, I think.
Like when you talk about, when we were talking about, like, you wanted to see the three-peat because during our lifetime, we could say we saw it. Like, but when you start talking about those kind of showmen and legends, when you talk, and even the halftime shows, when you saw Prince, when you saw Michael Jackson, when you saw those guys that in our lifetimes were like the ultimate showman,
Yeah, he was. All right, speaking of shows, give away a couple of tickets to go watch a show. Don't miss Marvel Studios' Captain America Brave New World, starring Anthony Mackie and Harrison Ford. Caller number 5 to 713-780-3776 wins a 4-pack of tickets to see Captain America Brave New World at any theater, anytime, plus a $100 Visa gift card courtesy of the film. Captain America Brave New World in theaters everywhere Friday, February 14th. Get tickets now. So call number 5 to 713-780-3776. You're going to watch Marvel Studios' Captain America. So Starbucks doing something new, Blinkers. You put this in the rundown. I didn't really know what it was, and then I saw a Starbucks coffee just kind of randomly in our studio here. What is the deal? What is going on?
They are now required to use their little Sharpies and leave a message on everybody's cup and write something on everybody's cup before you get your coffee. And I was not aware of this, and it got to the point where I went to pick up my coffee the other day, and I'm at the drive-thru, and I'm just wanting to pay and get it. And they're like, whoa, wait a minute. And the manager's watching, because now it is required of employees of Starbucks to write something on everybody's cup.
So, like, the barista or whatever, they have to decide, like, they look at you and they write it?
They either the person that the barista that makes the coffee or the person at the drive-through window or at the register when they hand you the coffee. But somewhere between the employees, they have to do that.
That's kind of weird.
It actually, I know that I've talked to some of the people at my Starbucks that said it's actually kind of a double-edged sword because you're supposed to write something on it now, but they have like a timer for the drive-through people. Like, you're supposed to be, from the time you order to the time you get your coffee, it's supposed to be like, I think, 132 seconds or less or something. And they're like, now writing stuff takes an extra step, and they're worried about if they're going to get docked if the drive-through line doesn't move fast enough.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. So you picked some Starbucks today. Did you have any note written on yours?
Yeah.
What did it say?
It isn't on this cup. It varies from day to day.
So this has been my water cup. This has been going on for how long?
I think they started about a week or so ago.
So what are a few that you've gotten?
Number one customer, our favorite.
So they have to lie.
Yeah. No, I know most of them by name at my Starbucks.
How many of your baristas how many of your Lance McCullers do you think are writing you're my number one customer too?
Probably 4 or 5.
4 or 5
at my Starbucks. Yeah.
So you're our favorite customer, number one. What else have you gotten?
I tip them. I take care of them. They're good people.
Yeah, I'm sure that you think that they're good people. What I'm pointing at is I'm not sure they think you're their number one customer.
I'm a good dude. So they know that I'm a good dude, too. So it's cool.
So what else have you got? Number one customer. What else? Number one customer. What else have they written?
Just my name. My name with like a smiley face or have a great day or.
I will say like those, you know, those little candies you get for Valentine's Day. What are the little hearts that have the message on them? Like, I like those candies a lot more because of the message. If those candies didn't have the message on them, I don't think I would like them as much.
I don't like the way they taste.
I think they're all right. Oof. I think they're all right, but I think
they're the candy corn of Valentine's Day.
No, that's insulting. They're way better than
candy. Those little hearts are the same thing as candy corns during Halloween.
They're not the same.
Yes, they are. They're both hot trash.
They taste totally different.
I know, but I'm just saying, a lot of people, first of all, this exact conversation, a lot of people hate them because of the way they taste.
They taste so much better than candy corn.
Okay, I'm not saying compare the way they taste. I'm saying at Halloween, your least favorite thing to get is candy corn for most people. Valentine's Day, you'd much rather get chocolate and chocolate-covered caramels and all the different things that you can get.
Not me.
You want the little hearts?
I'll take the hearts over the caramel, for sure. I don't like caramel that much.
Ooh.
Some of the chocolates, it depends on the chocolate. But no, I like the heart. The hearts are fine. What do you feel about the hearts, AJ? The hearts are okay. The candy corns are abysmal.
I'm not a huge candy person, but I mean, I just prefer chocolate. I don't like caramel really that much either. But
I'll take the heart. I see what you're saying. Like, they're the most popular candy, and they're cheap, and they're a dime a dozen and all that. But I just think they taste way better. But I don't think they would taste as good if they didn't have the sweet little message on them.
I don't think the message means anything. I just look at them and go, God, those things taste awful. I don't want any part of them.
That or candy corn? What are you picking?
I'll take candy corn over the hearts.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on the wrong side. No, I feel like you're on the wrong side of history.
I don't know. Well, we'll see. Maybe that's something. Maybe we could do one of your polls or see at some point. Because I think, AJ, where are you on this?
I don't really eat candy corn.
What is the worst candy?
If you had to you don't eat candy corn, but you eat the hearts?
This would have to be
I don't really eat candy that much either. But.
Do the hearts mean something more to you because of the message?
Not really.
What are the hearts called?
I don't know.
Valentine hearts?
Sweeties?
No, I don't think they're sweeties.
I don't know.
Like I have to know what they're called to be in the poll here, Blinkers. They're assorted sweethearts.
I was close.
Yeah, you are pretty close.
Sweethearts, so, there you go.
Sweethearts. Uncle Barney says candy corn is better. I've never seen somebody like candy corn more than Uncle Barney. I think Uncle Barney's the reason I don't like candy corn, is I had to eat them a lot as a kid because he liked them. And I liked them for like a year, and then I had too many of them, and I've been off of them the rest of my life. That's, I don't think much. I've had a candy corn legitimately. I don't think that I've had a candy corn once I turned 10 years old. I don't think I've had one in, how old am I now, 40? I don't think I've had one in 30 years.
Really?
30 years. I haven't had a candy corn in 30 years.
See, and again, I think a lot of the time it depends on like where you grew up and who you grew up around. Like my grandma always had like a candy dish with candy corn in it during Halloween in October.
That didn't make you sick of it?
No, but every now and then as a kid, you walk by, hey, there's a chance to get some, I'll have a couple of candy corns on the way out the door.
Oh, so bad.
Now, the better thing was during the year when both my mom and my grandma, because my dad liked them a lot too, and my sisters, but the Jolly Ranchers were all over the place.
I love Jolly Ranchers.
Oh, the Jolly Ranchers, when grandma had them and mom and dad had them, so you always had, my buddies used to come over just for the Jolly Ranchers.
What's your favorite flavor of Jolly Rancher?
Watermelon and sour apple.
Water what?
Watermelon and sour apple.
I like sour apple the best. The blue raspberry, the new one's not bad. The blue raspberry's not
bad. I've never had that. Never tried it.
What'd you say?
Hey, I like the blue raspberry.
Blue raspberry is pretty good. Now the hearts are worse. Blankers is actually right on food for once. That's debatable whether or not that's food. A candy corn over hearts is picking wax over chalk. That might be the best analogy there. Candy corn for the win. Conversations hearts is what they're called. I don't think they would taste as good without the conversation. Those sweethearts over caramel and chocolate is a wild take. Bad Take Boulevard getting rebuilt. I didn't say all chocolate. I said some chocolate, but I did say the caramel. But to the Starbucks thing, this was a Starbucks cup that was in here whenever I walked in today. It belongs to Aaron. I don't know an Aaron. Do you know an Aaron?
I don't.
I don't know what this is doing in here, but it belongs to Aaron. It's at 7:09 a.m. today. This was February 8th.
2 days ago?
Doing some detective work.
3 days ago.
Was this over the weekend?
It must have been on the weekend, yeah.
So was there? It was 7:09 a.m. So who was in here at 7:09 a.m.
on Saturday?
Show
on Saturday?
Usually it's the Charlie Epps show, but they weren't. No one named Aaron was here though.
Yeah, it says Aaron. It's a S.H. Brown's Oat CRT. It's a blonde espresso. It still has about half of it left. You want to give it a shot?
No chance. Paul would. would drink. We know Paul drinks old coffee.
But the message on it is short and sweet. Short and sweet. I think I like this. I think I'm a fan of the little message from Starbucks.
Well, evidently, if you like the messages nice. On the hearts that brings you more value and endears you more to the hearts, then you probably would like it.
I think that I... Now,
What messages are you going to get?
I don't know. I'm scared, actually.
Like, I'm intrigued.
I might stay away from Starbucks.
I'm intrigued. I'm very interested.
Short, about 20 pounds overweight. Crooked nose. Funny smile. Are they going to insult me? I'm a little... Like, they're going to bring back, like, high school insults.
Pipes.
No, they wouldn't know that.
You can hear it.
They're not going to say
that. Oh, stop it. You know that
they're not going to say pipes.
People recognize your voice.
I'm kind of curious now what they would say about me. Short and pudgy. 10 years
past
his prime.
They're not allowed to say that stuff.
I think it'd be better if they did. I'm going to build a coffee shop next to every Starbucks, and instead of writing something nice, I'm going to write something mean. I think it'll do numbers. I think it'll do big business. We'll write something mean to every customer instead of something nice.
What was it? And again, no offense, Ryan Hollins, but Dick's Last Resort.
They would insult you.
That's what they were supposed
Never
to do the entire
one,
time.
But I do know the premise.
Yeah, because there was one on the Riverwalk in San Antonio and a couple of spots that we would hit on the road. And we would always get a good laugh out of the stuff you're supposed to say to you when you walk in, sit down, and all that.
Yeah, I don't want to read nice things about me.
I think we got T-shirts one time from a Dick's Last Resort.
These people don't even know who you are, and they're trying to come up with 1 to 3 word compliments that they've gathered in a matter of seconds. Like, that is the fakest thing I've ever heard. That's like small talk being kind, like Southern hospitality type of stuff. Like, give me your first impression. It's an ugly guy. Give me that stuff. Kalik didn't do him any favors. Probably two sizes too small with that shirt.
To that level.
I think that's better.
I think that for the most part, you know, they're trying to endear themselves more to their customers. I don't think they're going to like dig into what they do or like what they look like. It's just more like have a nice day, great smile, you know, things like that.
I think I want to go the other way. Crooked smile, chipped tooth. Stuff like that.
Nice, nice overbite.
Yeah. Jeez. Why not? Give me a little taste of, give me a little dose of honesty with my cappuccino, with my Americano.
What do they call it when you got the booger in your nostril, bear in the cave?
Oh, yeah. I call them mocos.
Just put bear in the cave on the cup? Sure. Okay.
Which color makes a difference? I think he's talking about the sweethearts, not the color of coffee. Or the color of guy buying the coffee.
Yeah,
jeez. Husky Latino Latte. Someone for Branham. I think I would get more of a kick out of it, a little jab than I would some fake, unauthentic compliment. Like, okay. This is short. Like, this for Aaron, whoever Aaron is, who is in here Saturday morning, she got a short and sweet. I'm not going to insult Aaron because I don't know who it is, but.
Here's the thing. Are you setting yourself up, if you're Starbucks, to potentially offend people? Because if you said short and sweet, you think if you're writing that, you think maybe I'm complimenting her.
Yeah, you might irritate somebody.
She might get irritated. You called her short.
Yeah. You might hit a trigger word.
Yeah.
You really could.
From an HR perspective, they might want to reevaluate.
They're giving it a shot.
I guess so.
I put a poll out there about the candy corn thing. We'll see how it turns out in the next few minutes. Candy corn is actually the best candy, says Kevin. So kindly remove this before I report you. Which sicko, and Kevin, it's you, which sicko exists that thinks candy corn is the best candy? Like, it's fine to think that candy corn is better than sweethearts. Whatever. Like, both not great candies. But to say it is the best candy ever, you have to have the worst taste in the world.
So, yes. I have to say that.
Yeah, candy corn wouldn't be top 100 candy corn candies.
That's why I said candy corn to Halloween is those sweethearts for Valentine's Day. No one wants those as opposed to all the good stuff.
I could come up with 100 candies that are better than candy corn without a shadow of a doubt. That a shadow
didn't
of it.
We do this with cereal or with snacks.
Chips. Yeah, we did chips. It. I came up, right. I think, with 50 chips that were better than Sun Chips, and it was easy. I could have done 100.
That's right.
You could do 100 candies better than candy corn because candy corn.
We also
terrible.
Did top. Didn't we do top plays or something like that one time?
Top plays.
Yeah, we were saying about the biggest defensive plays.
No, I think that was the dirtiest hits of all time.
Oh, dirtiest hits. John, of all time. That's
John,
what it was.
John McClain called the Aziz Alshire hit the dirtiest
That's right.
play he's
That's
ever
what
seen
it was.
In the history of football. Like, he didn't live through Jack Tatum.
Yep.
You kidding me?
Yep.
All right, let's get to the car wrecks of the day. It's a good segue, I think.
Da-da-da. Da-da-da. AJ.
There we go.
There we go.
There we go. Well, we can't get rid of Brian yet. He knows when to hit the button for car wreck of the day.
He's broken. The ball's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! I'll give you a bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Candy corn is right there with Good and Plenty the worst. Good and Plenty's terrible.
I can't stand them.
Is that Kevin from The Office? I don't think so. I like Kevin from The Office. He's funny. It's licorice. It's like short licorice. They're awful. My mother-in-law likes licorice. Love her. Don't love her candy.
Love red licorice. Woo!
Like Twizzlers?
Oh, my God.
The black ones are terrible.
The cherry licorice. And we had a like a corner store, like a candy store, like a, what do you call it, like a dime store.
I think that's where they sell drugs.
But maybe now.
It's a dime store.
But back home, they made their own licorice twists. Whew, baby, they were good. What are you laughing at?
I think it's an old joke.
What?
I don't think that exists anymore.
What?
That's like the old cola shots where you would go to like the shop and they would actually make homemade cola.
I haven't been back
cola.
To Milwaukee in so long, but I'm telling you that I said when I was growing up, that dime store, that corner store that made their own candy, made unbelievable liquor.
No, I believe you. I just think it, like, I don't think that happens.
They're probably
anymore.
Not. Yeah, I mean, look, CVS and Walgreens have basically cannibalized that market.
Those are the good old days. All right, what are you nominating for car wreck of the day, Blinkers?
Oh, I've got several. I mean, the first one to me, I'll just go with Dalton Kincaid. He sat out last night because he still isn't over the fact that the trade was rescinded. Like, you're a professional, and you haven't even been there a year yet, a full season. It's your rookie year. You're getting paid. Suck it up, Buttercup, and play the game. They needed you.
He is a rookie, but he's like 28.
Okay, regardless, you haven't been there long enough to feel like, oh, my roots are here, and this is terrible, and I didn't want to leave in the first place. Now I got to relive it. Just play the game.
That's a weird deal, though. Like, they...
I agree.
They, like, the Hornets are trying to challenge this.
Yeah, so what? What, are they going to, like, reverse it again?
I don't think they can. Like, the Lakers are already making other moves. Yeah. They claim that they're signing that Alex Lynn.
Oh, the big guy that they waived from Maryland Wood. That used to play?
Yeah. And they waived Christian Wood.
They
to
had
bring him
Christian
in.
Wood still?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't
boy.
Think he's, I mean, he hadn't played. You want a reunion with Christian Wood?
No.
Remember the wow factor?
Yeah, remember the locker room scene that he caused?
What else you got?
I'm trying to see. Do you have any? Because I'm going to my... I gotta get
yeah,
my
I got... you see Jason Kidd did not do his press conference yesterday?
I did.
When has a head coach not done his press conference after a game? He's going to get fined.
Well, that was one of them because it was a calamity of errors in Dallas last night. They did, like, their version of the fan cam, and they were scanning the crowd, and a dude was actually... They were playing some
karaoke.
Song that he was karaoke singing, and when he saw the camera was on him, he stopped singing and said, "Fire Nico," yep. And they kicked him out.
Kicked him out.
That is so soft.
If you're going to make that type of trade, you have to live with the repercussions. Like, I talk about this all the time. If you want to pimp a home run, cool, do it. But you got to live with the repercussions. Like, same thing here. If you're going to make that trade, you got to live with it. And the more that you deny it, the louder the outcry is going to be. Like, you just got to live it, wear it, and then hopefully it runs its course over time. But, like, doing this whole kicking fans out deal, that's going to give it more life.
That's a James Dolan, New York Knicks thing that he's been doing forever.
And it's going to give it more life.
Yeah, and I guess evidently the fan also had a sign that said "Fire Nico," and first they took the sign from him. Now, their people were the ones that put him on the scoreboard, and then he said "Fire Nico," and they kicked him out.
You can't do that. You got to wear it. You got to wear it. Alex says, "Car Wreck of the Day, whoever didn't give AJ his Cougs press pass, that'd be Joe George." Josh from Seabrook, Car Wreck of the Day, the late transition with the music. AJ got it. Everybody can get it. And then two bad candy takes. Who had the bad candy take, though?
You.
I don't think so. Although I lost the poll. 65% said candy. Oh, no, I won the poll. What is the worst candy? Candy corn, 65%. Sweethearts, 35%.
Huh.
The majority's on my side yet again.
So you just want to claim the win. I was curious how people thought. Because I think they both suck, but they suck in their own particular season.
All right, let's get out of here. What's winning for you?
I'll save the other one for tomorrow because... It didn't come up in time, but
if
you didn't catch
it,
yeah, you would enjoy it. I think just the entire situation in Dallas.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. That is so bad. Just wear it. I don't know why they're not just wearing it. If you're going to do that, you got to wear it. I did see reports, though, that he actually shot them. They called Minnesota with
Edwards.
They probably wanted Edwards. Yeah. And they called Milwaukee.
For Giannis?
Mm-hmm.
Or Dame? Like, I would have thought Giannis. About it for Dame, but...
If you're Milwaukee? Yeah.
Yeah. If you're Milwaukee, of course you would, yes.
Of course. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out in L.A. So, yeah, Dallas gets a win here. Hate to do it, but Dallas gets a victory. It's going to do it for us. Thanks to AJ for doing the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Coming up next, Soccer Matters, Glenn Davis, and then Aggie Basketball after that on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.